You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hi, everyone. I am Martina Cunha, and you're listening to Backstage Talk. Jonathan Larson asked, "How can you make someone take off and fly?" in one of his songs from Tick, Tick, Boom. And I, for the past 2 years, have learned one way to do it, through the power of community. Welcome to the Latinx in Musical Theater special for Season 3 of Backstage Talk, where we will be featuring artists from across all positions in musical theater, from several Latin American countries and different Latin heritages. I am proud to showcase my Latinx family. I hope you enjoy. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Backstage Talk. Today's guest is a native of Panama. Hilda Mason is an actress currently based in New York City. She made her feature film debut as Luz in Steven Spielberg's West Side Story. Her acting career began in Panama on theater productions such as Peter Pan, A Chorus Line, and Hello Dolly, among others. She also won Panama's Dancing with the Stars second season, and after earning her bachelor's degree in structural architecture, Hilda moved to New York City to fulfill her passion for acting. Her favorite musical is West Side Story, which she has had the joy of being part of 4 times. Her latest while making her Broadway debut in the 2020 revival. Hilda, I am super happy, super honored, starstruck, nervous, and super excited to have you here in Backstage Talk. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Oh my God, you're so beautiful. Do not be nervous. I am so happy. So everything. So starstruck to be talking with you today. So thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. I just read a little bit about your bio, and you started your acting career in Panama with a couple of productions there. But I want to go a little bit back from that moment and ask you, what made you choose the thespian path in life?
Well, I would say it started when I was in high school. I was in, I think it was 9th or 10th grade, and I did my first ever professional theater gig. Mm-hmm. One of my mom's friends, may she rest in peace, she was one of the biggest, theater actresses in Panama. And she was doing a production and she needed someone to play a teen. And she asked my mom if I, and she was like, yeah, I think she would like to do it. So the play was called Mother-in-Law Wanted, Mute, Deaf, and Blind. So that was the first ever professional thing that I did in Panama. And at the same time, one of our seniors in high school decided that he wanted to direct, produce everything, a musical. And it was Grease. Now, our high school did not have a theater program or anything. So this was huge. And I got cast in it. And it was Grease. And I fell in love with it. That year, I realized how much I loved the stage. And dancing, acting, and singing. And it's not because I was like amazing at all those three things. I remember being like, oh, I don't know if I can sing this properly, la, 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 la. But I will never forget one of my favorite teachers. He taught logic. He was like very serious man. And after he saw the play, he came to class one day and he was like, Hilda, I would like to congratulate you on your acting. It was superb. And I was like, oh my God. But you know what I thought? I was like, oh, so then maybe I didn't sing well. But like, that was my first acting review. I had not thought about that in a long time. Now that I'm saying this, I'm like, wow, that's what he said. That he was like, he enjoyed my acting. In Greece, like he was. And that, since then, I just knew that I wanted to do this professionally. Acting for film and TV. Mm-hmm. And I've always had this very, like, I don't know, visceral experience when going to the movie theaters and just watching the trailers. Like, I get goosebumps. I'm not joking. It's like an experience going to the movies. Just, I feel so inspired. But that's how it all started. Like, in high school, with, like, Grease and Mother-in-Law Wanted.
I love it. I love it. So tell us a little bit more about your journey in musical theater from those productions back in Panama all the way to West Side Story, the movie, and then West Side Story as your Broadway debut, because you worked with a friend of mine. So shameless plug, shameless shout out to my dear friend, Chris Lunar, who was one of the production managers of this show that unfortunately was shut down due to COVID. But tell us, Ilda, about all that journey from Panama to Broadway.
Wow. Wow. So I, like I said just now, is like, I knew that I wanted to study this, right? I wanted to go abroad. I wanted to do it. And my mom jokingly once said, like, oh, no, please don't leave me. Just like once, jokingly. And I took that as a sign. And I thought, well, maybe I should, you know, study something as a plan B because this is a hard career. You know, I've never watched the show Smash because I did not want to get scared at what the industry would be like. That's how much I was like, I know this is going to be tough. So I stayed in Panama for 4 years. Studied, graduated from structural architecture. But I honestly believe that everything happens for a reason, because those 4 years in Panama and the work that I did there was what allowed me to then stay here in the United States and work professionally. But before that, I was able to then, like, so I graduated high school, and the very first show that, like, professional musical theater production that I was able to audition for and got cast in was Beauty and the Beast. And I, that was out of this world. I got to callbacks for Belle, which was huge, 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 huge. And not because, like, oh yes, you get to be the lead, like, or you're being considered for the lead, but because it was the first time that I was just, you know, no one knew me. And that's one of my favorite things about auditioning here is that, like, you know, people, you go into an audition room with a blank canvas. They don't know. Yeah. You get to show them. I am digressing. I am so sorry. But blah. So long story short, got cast. Beauty and the Beast was my first musical. I was starstruck and in awe of everyone involved in the production. It was like the biggest, most talented actors, actresses in Panama. And I just was so like, I get to be a part of this. I was eventually cast as an ensemble member, and I was a fork. So that was amazing.
I love it.
After that, I got to do other productions. Like, I got to do, like, Hello Dolly and Peter Pan. I mean, that was later when I got to actually play Peter Pan. That was amazing to get to fly. Did Legally Blonde. It was A Chorus Line. That was so incredible. Like, I just remember, like, my theater experience in Panama was mostly just feeling in awe of everyone around me. And I feel like that's still the case. That fills me with such, I don't know, like, such joy, such inspiration constantly. I love being in awe of people. And it doesn't need to be like, oh, this is someone, like, huge, like Steven Spielberg, you know. It's like, yeah, it's very easy to be in awe of this man. But I feel that same awe with peers and with people that I just, like, see that are special and that have changed my life in ways that they don't even know. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I've just learned from a bit from everyone on along the way. Then I got to move here. Studied 2 years of acting for film, musical theater and acting for film. And then I got to, very fortunately, my first professional job in the United States was West Side Story at Signature Theater. And again, I felt that, I mean, first of all, West Side Story, wow, wow, masterpiece. And the people that I was on stage with, like, it was people that had been on Broadway, and that were these, like, I couldn't believe it. And I just felt exactly what I just said, like, in awe, starstruck, mm-hmm. and just absorbing everything that I could. I felt so, I don't know, like, incredible, because I was also able to, I had this feeling of awe and you know what I just said, but I was also very welcomed, and I felt very, I felt like I mattered, because I was the one Latina in that production. I was the only person who spoke Spanish. So my point of view was listened to, and I was consulted about some words, accents, names, and stuff like that. So it was so incredible to, like, come all the way from Panama, my first job, to be like, yes, we want your point of view. That to me, my God, that to me is like gold.
Yeah.
Be like, we want to know about your culture, about Absolutely. Your experience. My God. Okay. Yeah. And then I got to, like, tour. I went on tour with Cinderella. I got to go on an international tour with Legally Blonde in China. Then I did On Your Feet, the Emilio and Gloria Estefan musical. And then I got cast in a movie. I mean, it sounds so easy now that I say like this, like, and then da-da-da-da-da-da, obviously.
But it's not.
But it's,
not. Yeah.
But it's not. In between these projects, I think this is very important to mention, because it's so easy to then just fall into like, well, that sounds successful. That sounds like an easy ABC mm-hmm. way to, you know, to get to be in this and the production like that. But it takes, you know, many auditions that go nowhere, many auditions that like almost get there, auditions that I just like flopped, projects that, you know, periods in which I was not working. I worked as a server, as a waitress in 3 restaurants while I was, you know, still like, I didn't have any savings because I had just gotten here. Like, it's a whole thing. I just wanted to say that disclaimer. It is not like, and then I did this, and exactly right after the next day, I did this. The only thing that worked kind of like that was after doing the movie. Okay, so yeah, so did the movie. Again, sounds so short, boom. Even getting the movie was a whole year plus. Yeah. Journey. But after we finished shooting the movie, a month later, we started rehearsals for Broadway, which is
for the West Side Story revival.
Yeah, for the West Side Story revival. Thank you. Yes. Which is, that was that period of time. That was 2019, 2020. It was just, I was like floating in heaven. And I was like, yes, I felt so powerful. And then COVID hit.
Yeah.
But everything, yeah, I know everything happens for a reason. All Absolutely. Those things that I did in Panama, I needed for my O-1 visa, for my legal permit to be here and actually work. It took so long to go from like my first professional job here to finally getting my equity card, to then be able to do a Broadway tour, be on Broadway, to get my green card because I've done those projects, to then be able to be in a movie because I have a green card. Like, it's a journey, but it's doable. You can do it. Yes, you can. If I did, you can too. Okay, that's it.
I love it. I want to ask you for your approach to characters and performing in musical theater.
I think my answer is not going to be as fancy as someone else's might be, because I have had the opportunity to create characters like Luz and Peter Pan and Pilar in Legally Blonde. However, I would say the majority of my roles have been as an ensemble member, in which then you don't have a lot of lines, or you just creating a character out of like almost thin air, which is also really fun. So I have to say that I enjoy creating my characters based off their like physicality and how they interact and how my character interacts with other characters on stage, like creating those relationships to then just organically be and just play on stage. One of the things that I enjoyed, I think, the most was in Cinderella, in Princess Given a Ball. There's a whole village, right? And I was assigned, they were like, I will never forget this. It was like the first day and they were assigning like, okay, so black person, you're going to carry the flowers. Da-da-da, you're going to have the basket with bread. You are going to be with the fabrics. Ilda, you're going to have the fish. And I'm like, okay, what? And I was like, what? So I literally had like, you know, imagine like baskets and like things with like bread, food and textiles. And there I am, literally like a stick that I have to like carry. And from the ends of it are fish, right? And so I have like a little basket, and I also have the stick with the fish hanging from the ends of it. And I made a whole thing about it. Like, it was a whole thing. Because it was just like ad-libbing, I got to like play around, and I was like, fish, buy fish. And according to the day of the week, I would sell a different fish. So for Friday, it was flounder. There was mahi-mahi Monday. Tuna Tuesday.
I love it.
I didn't remember Wednesday. But yeah, or it was tuna Thursday. It was like a whole thing. It was a whole thing to the point that like it was a thing. Like, and people on stage were having fun with it because it was so silly.
Yeah, I love it.
After I left tour, the girl who replaced me, she was like, well, I have to do the fish. I have to sell the fish. Like, it's a whole thing to sell fish. It's like, I know. So I would say that's how I approach my creating characters.
I love it. And what advice would you tell a younger version of Ilda?
This question is so big because I feel like I have it as a mantra. It's something that I wouldn't just say to young Ilda, but Ilda today. And it's very simple, but at the same time, a little difficult to do. It is to not try to be like someone else. That is the easy way to say it. What I mean is to be yourself, like unapologetically, to be fully, full out yourself. Because it's so easy to fall into comparisons, into, well, I want to sing like that person. I want to dance like that person. I want to act like this person. I want to sound like, and then it's like, you just end up being a washed down version of yourself because you're trying to be like someone else. I think there's a really, and I call it like magic. Like there's something inside of us that we are unique, and that should be exploited. That should be celebrated. I think that's what also, like, that sparkle, that's what then draws people in, what draws audience members in, casting, like, directors, you know, people behind the table in those rooms. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, there's something here. I don't know what it is, but I like this person. And it's just you. It's just you. And I say that it's hard because, of course, like I said, I admire a lot of people and I aspire to be, you know, I have my goals and dreams and aspirations. And it's hard sometimes to then not like, well, oh, then I should be like that to do that. But it's not the case. Mm-hmm. It's very important to know that each of us has, like, we are all on different journeys. It sounds so simple, but it sometimes isn't. So that's something that I would tell Ilda, you know, when I was, I don't know, when I got here 9 years ago. And then I was in school and I was just trying to like, well, to sound like this person. And I think that was definitely not helpful. Now I see, looking back, how I did not enjoy just how I sounded. In what I could do and what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. You know, that's also a big thing to not be like, well, this person sounds great in doing that. Do I enjoy doing that? Like, the easiest thing for me to translate is like, for example, tap. I am not a tapper. I cannot tap to save my life. But it's like, I admire people who tap. However, I'm like, well, do I want to be the best tap dancer? No. Do I enjoy it? Well, no, like it's, no, I don't. So, but it's an incredible skill, but that's just not me. Done. Yeah. And I feel like that with a lot of things, in a lot of things in our lives.
Yeah, I agree.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
I loved that you mentioned earlier about your experience in one of the West Side productions in which, since you, they reached out to you to have consultations about Latin culture and pronunciation and names and all of that. I want to now turn gears into Latinx in musical theater and ask you, what is visibility and representation for you? Because for me, it's just so important to know that part of your story, that you were reached out to be a consultant and to really understand how Latins are, how we are.
Yeah, that is actually huge. Visibility and representation is, I cannot even emphasize just how important it is and how much it means to me, because I feel like to all of us, even the people who do not even like I know that we talk about it a lot because we are like part of this world, you know, but it's so easy to sometimes like, well, you see what you see on TV and that's what it is. Boom. But we know the truth and we know how big of a range, how different, how rich our culture, our people are. And it's so, so, so important that we see it on stage, on film, in film and TV, because it allows, one, the world to actually see and change the stereotypes of what it is to be Latinx. And for us to see what is possible, we can start just believing, oh, I can actually do that too. I can play those roles. I am not just limited to being, insert here, whichever stereotypical Latinx character you want to insert. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
It's so, so important. It really does, I think, shape culture and society. Like, not even just the people who are in the theater, who want to do theater or arts, but the world. We need to see more Latinx characters. We need to see that, yeah, we just need it, period.
And how do you think we can increase that Latinx visibility and representation on Broadway and on Hollywood, since you've had the experience on both?
Well, I think it first takes guts from the people in charge, you know, because, for example, West Side Story, the movie, the remake, I have pages upon pages on my journal of how I was like begging the universe, like, please let me do this. I want to be able to play my story, you know? Mm-hmm. And it it was up to them to be like, yes, we're actually going to cast someone who has lived this experience, who speaks this language, who, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's the first thing. It kind of has to come from the people who are creating the projects. And it doesn't only have to be like in a great, like huge scale, like let's say this massive movie, but depends on like the people who are creating the stories, mm-hmm. to include these characters, to create these opportunities. And that goes also for us as performers to then also help in that, to, okay, it doesn't exist. Well, then maybe I can create that character. Maybe I can create that story. And it's a lot of work. It definitely takes a lot of work from everyone involved. But I think it's just starting. It's definitely baby steps, but it is.
We're going to get there.
We're going to get there.
Yeah.
Definitely. I believe so. Yes.
And for you, what is the most important part of creating these Latin characters in musical theater?
I think the most important thing is that these characters are not caricatures, that they are real people, you know, that these characters are actual real people. I saw a musical in which there was this one distinct, yes, it was a comedy, but it was a distinct caricature of a Latina that I actually even found offensive. Not only was the character interpreted by a white woman, it was like the accent was all wrong. It was just all wrong because you know that it was just a stereotype. Mm-hmm. It was like, well, everyone from Latin America should sound like this. No, I was like, well, no, no.
Yeah,
but that's something that, like, unless you take the time, effort, do the research, do the work of like, okay, who does know what this character would sound like, what this character mm-hmm. would say, how they would dress, how they would, you know, even with the West Side, this masterpiece, it took time to get it right and a lot of effort from the team of Steven Spielberg, Tony Kushner, Kristy McCusker, everyone, Jenny Tesori, to create this movie, this remake as the most truthful version of this story that it could be in every single way. And whenever I hear the original and I hear at the end of America, ole, and I'm like, and why are we saying ole? Why? If that's a Spanish thing, why?
Yeah.
Okay. That's all I'm going to say about that. But that is just, you know, that was 64 years ago. So
yeah,
that's okay. But
totally.
What I mean, not okay, but like now we are able to have these voices. Just the fact that you're asking me this question is huge. It's allowing my point of view, my like humble, small point of view, to be out there in the world and for someone to be like, oh, okay, so maybe that is what matters to someone who is from Latin America. That is what visibility is. And it's not just like, okay, let's create another bombshell that speaks, you know, I'm not even going to try because I find it so disrespectful. But yeah, I just think it needs to be real mm-hmm. people. I briefly want to just say how I was so moved by Alfonso Cuarón's Roma. If you have not seen it, like not you, I know you've seen it, but like whoever has not seen it, please watch that movie. That's what it should be. It should be these real people at the center of the stories, and not even at the center of the story, but like just real people. We need to show the world the real us. And it's very general. The real us is very broad. Yeah. And I think that is what people don't understand. It's okay, because I don't blame them. That is, they've been shown a certain version.
Yeah.
What needs to happen now is that we need to show all the colors of the rainbow of what it means to have someone who's Latinx on stage, on screen, and then have the shock of people being like, but this person is not. Well, actually, they are.
Mm-hmm.
And have that moment of education. And not, I'm not saying this in an aggressive way, but just like, oh, okay, so then, oh, that's, it could be this? Yes. And it could also be this? Yes. In West Side, we had people from Puerto Rico, from Panama, Cuba, Miami, from everywhere, Dominican mm-hmm. Republic. And we looked like we had someone who was blonde, blue-eyed, someone who was black, someone who was mixed like me, curly hair. You have gorgeous, stunning, like straight hair, tan skin. Like, it's a bit of everything. And we need the world to see that.
Well, yeah.
That's it.
Ilda, I have loved this conversation. Thank you so much. If someone wants to contact you, follow you on social media, send you a business inquiry or something, where can people find you?
So thank you for any business questions. I'm going to say questions. You can reach me at, you can go to my website, ildamason.com. And there's a section for that. I can also be reached. You can follow me on Instagram at Ilda Mason, or Twitter at Live Mariana. Live Mariana. Oh, I feel terrible saying my name differently. but yes, I miss a lot of the DMs. I'm terrible with it. So for any inquiries, Jesus.
And one last question before we wrap up.
Yes.
Which are your top five favorite musical theater shows?
Okay. I'm going to have to say, I'm going to go with top three because...
Okay.
Yes, I have a top three.
Okay.
Number one is West Side Story, Forever and Ever. And I'm going to also include In the Heights because it's a celebration of our Latin American culture. And Legally Blonde, that musical. It's all about girl power, women supporting women. I cannot tell you how much fun I had on stage during end of Act One. And I was like, yes, this is it. You can do it, Elle Woods. It's just, yes, top notch, good. Mm.
I love it. Ilda, thank you so much. You are amazing. I love you. I'm sending all my love all the way from Colombia. Thank you so much for being here. I am honored.
Thank you so much for having me, Martin. Thank you so, so, so much. I am honored to be talking to you too as well. Like it means so much. Thank you so much for your love, for your great well wishes. My God, my English. For your beautiful wishes, for your amazing energy. And for your questions. Thank you so much for sharing my perspective and my story.
Thanks everyone for listening to this new episode of Backstage Talk. Remember to follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Backstage Talk Podcast.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.